Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Let's stand together. Book of Luke, chapter 18, beginning at verse 35, and we'll read down through verse 43. And it came to pass that as he, that being Jesus, was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this miracle that was done for this man. And Lord, may we have spiritual sight, and may we not be blinded by the wicked one. Lord, bless these that are here today. Bless the families that are represented. May they remain strong, and Lord, may they be faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh into Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Jesus and a group of people are drawing near the ancient city of Jericho, where we find in chapter 19 that Zacchaeus lives and works. Along the road, a blind man has positioned himself to do his begging. Now picture this in your mind. We're going back to AD 33. And here is a man who has no sight. And of course, they don't have any welfare or any type of social services for him. He must be a beggar. And he has positioned himself in a position that must be a good place. Or maybe there are others begging along the road, and this has become his patch. I remember when we were in Toronto, Don and I had been there, and Brian and I had gone a couple years before that. And we found out that there were many beggars in Toronto, but they could only do it if they get a permit. You have seen people at the corners here in this area that'll have a sign that will say, work for food. And I sometimes wonder, do they actually want to go and work, or they just want the food? I don't know. But there are people who beg in our society. Notice verse 36, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. Now again, ponder in your mind what's going on. This man is blind. And so he listens to what is going on. I mean, if you're a beggar, you want to make sure you hear when somebody goes by. Because would you say that some people are going to try to sneak by quietly? They don't want to be bothered. They don't want to see this man reach out his hat or whatever he's using to have people put coins in it. And they would probably get by as quietly as possible. So he would be listening. And suddenly there is not just a person coming or two or three people coming. There is a group of people that are walking by. The Bible says he hearing the multitude. There could have been 100 people or more. And he knows that something must be happening. See, Jesus is walking and certainly talking with those people that are with him. I believe that Jesus was constantly being of encouragement to the disciples. I'm sure that he was reminding him, and we have skipped about 5 or 6 verses that we'll get to maybe next week, where he's talking about his coming death. And so he is constantly talking to them. And as he nears Jericho, probably the crowd grows as people in Jericho are being told, hey, Jesus is coming. Now, they may not have followed Jesus regularly. They may not have really even liked what he taught, but he was a man that was well known, and he'd be one that would be on the late news. I mean, if you knew someone was coming by and you might be able to be on television, would you go out to watch? You say, Pastor Paul, they didn't have television back then. Most likely not. But it'd be good to say, hey, yeah, I know that Jesus. I was listening to him talk the other day. And the blind man, he hears this commotion and he calls out saying, asking what it meant. What's going on? Tell me, please, what's going on? Who's coming by? There's such a big group. What's happening? Let's read verse 37. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. The Bible here says they told him. They did not ignore him. You know, sometimes when someone has a physical ailment or has a problem, people have a tendency to ignore them. That they don't want to get involved. And this beggar, maybe he was a well-known personality. Maybe he was someone that had been there for years. They respond to him and they do not ignore him. And they told him that Jesus passeth by. The Bible doesn't say this, but I tell you this. Oh, don't let Jesus pass by without getting your life right with him. We have no idea how long we're going to be here on planet Earth as a living person. And we had better make sure that our life is right when our days have come to an end. We find in verse 43 that where he's going to follow him and glorify God. When Jesus passed by, we need to make sure that we're following after him. We need to make sure that he is part of our lives. I feel sorry for those people who will celebrate Thanksgiving and they'll think all it is a day to eat turkey and watch football. I feel sorry for those people as Thanksgiving comes by that the only thing they can think about is getting good sales at a store. Folks, we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful for what the Lord has allowed us to be blessed with. And number one is that we have the Word of God. That we have churches that preach the Word of God. And we have an opportunity to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Let's read verses 38 and 39. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they that went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. See, the beggar had obviously heard of Jesus of Nazareth. You say, Pastor Paul, how do you know this? Because he doesn't say Jesus of Nazareth. He calls him the Son of David. And we find that he knew that Jesus was from Bethlehem. He realized that he was of the line and lineage of the King David, and he probably even had realized that he was the Messiah. And he begins the shout, calling for Jesus. Have you ever been some place where they were asking for volunteers, and people are waving their hands because they want to be the one that is called upon? Sure. Maybe you remember when you were in school and the teacher would ask a question and there were those people that tried to hide behind the student in front of them. And there were the other ones that knew everything. And they raised their hand. I remember when I was in civics. Now, folks, if I can remember from civics class and when I was in the 9th grade, you should be very proud of me. Because unfortunately, that was a long time ago. But I had Mr. Yates as a civics teacher. I can't even believe I remember his name. I was then at what was called Sterling Junior High. I believe now it's Bemis Junior High. But I remember it was the last day of school. And on the last day of school, he was asking us questions. The exam was over, and if you knew the answer, he was giving away candy bars. Brother Wutke reminds me of you, and you would give out candy bars. I still remember when we were up at camp, and if you hit the target with the bow and arrow, but with the arrow shot by the bow, you gave us candy bars. Yeah, I still remember that too. My memory is really pretty good. And I remember he asked the question about the melting pot, that America was the melting pot. Do you remember that from civics? If I had candy bars, I'd give you some. And I remember I was raising my hand frantically, wanting to be called. And he goes, Paul, what's the answer? And I gave him the answer, and he gave me a candy bar. Now, I can't remember what it was. But, you know, I'm sure that this blind man wanted to get the attention of Jesus Christ. There is a multitude of people there. And he calls out. And may I say this, that the beggar went from begging for money to begging for mercy. He went from begging for money to begging for what the Lord could give him. It reminds us of the two that went into the temple to pray, the Pharisee and the publican. We read it earlier in a couple of weeks ago as they went up into the temple to pray. And remember how the Pharisee began to pray out loud and brag about what he did and how he fasted and how he tithed and how he was glad he wasn't like that man over there. Can you imagine in your prayer pointing to somebody? I'm glad I'm not like that guy. And remember, the publican smote upon his breast and would not lift up his eyes towards heaven and asked for mercy of God Almighty. We need to come to the Lord asking for mercy. We note here that the crowd didn't think the beggar was worthy of the master's attention. They tried to hush him. They tried to silence him. They tried to say, hey, listen, be quiet. But he cried all the more. He cried the more. May we note here that the Lord had time for the parents that brought their children to him. He had time for the man who begged for mercy. And he has time for this poor beggar. And he has time for you. He has time for you. Last week we saw the rich ruler coming to Jesus with a very important question. Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And remember how Jesus named five of the Ten Commandments. Five of the Ten Commandments. And the rich man said, all of these I have kept from my youth up. And Jesus replied to him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Do you remember that? And remember how I told you that I had 7 points in a conclusion, and I only got through 6 points? Yes. The seventh point was the fact that he went away sorrowful. The response of the rich man was to be very sorrowful, for he was very rich. You remember what Jesus said then? He says, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Well, why is it that those that are rich will have a hard time going into heaven? Not that rich won't go to heaven, but that some will have a hard time is because they're trusting in their riches. They've taken their eyes off what is important and put it on riches. But we find in verse 40 here, and Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And he was come near, he asked him. Jesus and the crowd are right there by the beggar. And someone is shouting for him. Do you see the smile on Jesus' face? Do you see the smile that's there? See, he is not bothered by the cry of someone that is in need. He's not bothered. He doesn't say, don't bother me, or I'll talk to you later, not intending really to talk to him later. He is interested in this man. He cries out, notice, thou son of David. The beggar realizes who he is. And Jesus commands that the beggar be brought to him. Do you see the beggar standing up? Maybe he's leaving his hat where the money is. He's excited. He's nervous. He's expectant. And then comes the question, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Well, what is it that you want? Well, why are you calling? May I say this, Jesus knew what the man needed. But he listens to the request. Lord, that I may receive my sight. May I say this, Jesus knows our needs also. And if we've never accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, he realizes that we are blinded by sin. Keeping your place here in Luke chapter 18, would you please take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'll give you a moment to get there. The blind man asks for sight. And may I say this, that when we are born, we are spiritually blind. And Satan's desire is to keep us that way. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, notice that's a God with a small g, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We can only get to heaven through the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came not so that we would give gifts to one another. He didn't come to show us that, yes, one is perfect. He came to die. He came to have his blood shed to pay the price for your sins and my sins. Jesus, our Savior. And the desire is that the light will be shown so that you will believe. Remember the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And when he came to himself, he said, I will rise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Folks, we have all sinned before the God of the universe. We've all come short of the glory of God. And when the prodigal got near home, it says, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Our Lord is willing to show us mercy if we're willing to come to him. Again, back to the book of Luke, if you would, chapter 18. Verse 41, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. Thy faith hath saved thee. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Not faith in your good works, not faith in the fact that you were born in America, not faith because you went to church, but you have faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The book of Romans, if you would please, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, some great thoughts, and you've probably read them before or heard these verses read in a church service, and how important it is that we have faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, I'll begin reading at verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring the glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elias said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How important it is that we have faith in Jesus Christ. May I say this as I read to you from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'll read verses 7 through 10, that all of us one day will stand before the judge of the universe. And 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. What a fearful day that will be for many, as they will be nervously thinking, how and what should I say to defend my actions? But we that know Christ as our Savior, we will stand there with perfect peace, knowing we've been covered by the blood. Again, if you would, back to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Luke 18, verses 42 and 43. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus. It should be our desire to follow the Lord. And he glorified God. We should glorify the Heavenly Father that he loved us enough to send his Son to die for us. In a moment, we're going to be singing the song, Jesus is Calling. And verse 1 says, Jesus is tenderly calling, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Verse 2 says, Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Verse 3 says, Jesus is waiting. Oh, come to him now. Waiting today, waiting today. Come with thy sins at his feet, lowly bow. Come and no longer delay. And the last verse says, Jesus is pleading. Oh, list to his voice. Hear him today. Hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice. Quickly arise and away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. He called for the blind man to come. And he did. He asked the rich man to come and follow him. And he wouldn't. See, the rich man said, I would rather have my riches than follow you. The beggar who had nothing said, I'm more than willing to follow you. Wouldn't it be sad that someone could have all the benefits of life and not know Christ as their Savior and die and go to a Christless eternity? And we can thank God for those who have nothing in this life but have accepted him as Lord and Savior and will spend eternity with the Lord. Shall we stand together? 381 is our song of invitation. Jesus is calling. Will you come to him today if you've never accepted him as Savior? And if you have, are you following him today? Are you serving him today? The altar is here. You can come and pray. Pray by yourself, or if you want someone to pray with you, please let it be known. We'll be glad to have someone pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this man that was willing to follow Jesus. And Lord, may we be willing to follow Jesus in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.